All right, we're back in BPOS, Microsoft Online Services. Who are you? What do you do?
My name is Arvind Suthar. I'm Director of Service for Microsoft Online. Uh-huh. And I manage, I do three things, really. I help define and prioritize customer problems and bring that information to the engineering team.
Okay.
I communicate the capabilities of the service out through our marketing and support organizations. Mm-hmm. And I accelerate customer onboarding. So when guys are trying to get onto the service, I help unblock them, add things to the service if we need to get them on.
Okay. So I mean, just to catch people up, because you know, we have done several of these, I mean, why should somebody want to get on board Microsoft Online Services? I mean, well, give me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you want to be your core competency of your business. If you want to be experts in Exchange and storage management and backup and recovery and all that type of stuff, mm-hmm. Then, you know, by all means, run your own servers and, you know, put in redundancy and all that. But generally what we've been finding is that folks are wanting to move up the skill chain and move into things that are more directly impactful to their business, Oracle financials, CRM,
sure.
Tying business intelligence systems together to help their executives make better decisions. The idea is you're not going to make it to be CIO if you're just backing up servers all the time. So the idea is to try to take all of that complexity and let someone else manage it. Let someone else who can staff it 24/7 with hundreds of people, you know, in mm-hmm. you know, state-of-the-art data centers.
Excellent. And, of course, being that we're only kind of just begun this whole cloud computing era, you guys are still doing a lot of learning.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a lot of information from your customers about what they want, what they need, what doesn't work. Let's talk a little bit about how you guys are transparent with what your roadmap is.
Sure.
And how that whole thing, because I know you do that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, so the way we're set up is we have these 6-week sprints where we you know, collect information from our customers, from our partners, from the field, prioritize the work and say this is the biggest, you know, most impactful stuff that we can add to the service. And new updates roll out to the service every 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we also publish these 90-day roadmaps that say, you know, this is what's coming, you know, we're not exactly sure when, but here's what you can be looking forward to, you know, moving forward. We've kind of shifted our focus. Like in the beginning, it was all about, you know, let's go and get that first big deal, let's go and get that first customer, you know, on board, and then it was like, oh, you know, we don't have this feature. You know, it's kind of like you're trying to fit a sofa through the door, and you're like, oh,
sure.
The sofa's a little too big, you got to knock the leg off of it or do this. And so there was a lot of learning early on to get our first, you know, 20,000 seat customer, first 30,000 seat customer, getting them on board, you know, kind of adding the capabilities that they would needed to be really successful. And then that machine, actually a machine was built up around that. We have, we have these internal teams that focus on various segments of customers and, you know, getting them on board and making them successful. And then they're tied directly into me and the engineering team to say, hey, you know, we're blocked, we can't move forward, we need this or that. And so we've actually gone through that kind of stage. And now we're sort of in a optimizing phase. You know, we're trying to reduce costs. We're saying, what are our highest call drivers? Where, you know, I think you've heard this from Dave, but whenever a customer has to pick up the phone, mm-hmm. we failed. Customer, whether it's a misunderstanding or, you know, a lack of capability in the service, you know, we should be able to solve their problems in software without needing to have them call in.
Interesting. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, it's sort of a, I wouldn't say a leap of faith, but it requires people to go, okay, I'm going to relinquish control
Absolutely.
Over what's kind of important to me, essentially what drives my business, or at least executes my business in a virtual way.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So I'm very involved in that process in the pre-sales where, you know, we're talking to the IT managers who are saying, well, you know, I can do this and I can do that, and, you know, I want reports on, you know, what you're backing up and, you know, what changes you're making. And, you know, there's a balance there between, you know, providing transparency and, you know, overwhelming people with information. I mean, our data centers are, there's a lot of activities going on there. So yeah, there's there's a balance there. We have different segments of customers. It's funny. We get the feedback saying, we want you to be more transparent. And so we say, okay, great. We're going to tell you what we're doing. We're going to send out these notifications. We're going to send them out. We're going to target them to you. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we do that, this other segment of customers start saying, whoa, what's going on? Why are you sending us all these notifications? Something wrong with the service? And at the same time, we're getting positive feedback from these customers saying, perfect, this is exactly what I want. This is the information that I need. So there's kind of this balancing act and targeting that we do to kind of identify who are the folks who really need detailed information and get that to them, and who are the folks who kind of want sort to kind of let us take care of things and don't really need that level of information.
Interesting. And one of the questions I'd ask you is, we really haven't had, I don't think we've actually talked about this before, I might have with Dave Thompson, but you guys do things like hosted Exchange, hosted SharePoint, hosted services, right?
Yeah.
Now, what impact has this model of business, sort of cloud computing, had on the evolution of those products? So you, of course, work with those product teams, right?
You're talking about, like, the dedicated team.
The Exchange guys. Like, for example, if you're going to run hosted Exchange in the cloud, obviously Exchange is a server technology. It runs in the cloud or on-premise, whatever. But in this case, it's sort of this general-purpose kind of distributed service, if you will, that's hosted and maintained by us. So my question that I'd ask you is, what influence has this all-in cloud computing reality had on the actual product teams who make these, that you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. So these guys are kind of designing from the ground up for a cloud-based model. Mm-hmm. And I think this next version, all-in, you have Office, you have SharePoint, you have Exchange, everyone kind of moving forward and releasing this, fully in the cloud service. So, it's really, I talk to people now and they're like, I see your service today and, it's just email and such. And it's like, well, it is Exchange in the cloud. But really, the real, wave of power is going to come when, all of your Office applications and everything is managed and stored in the cloud, and they all work together. Mm-hmm. And and we're running that internally now, and it's pretty good experience to have everything tied together and work together, and all the permissions and everything else just kind of handled for us. So, and getting all these different pieces of the organization across the finish line at the same time, is this challenge, but, there's a lot of momentum behind it.
Excellent. And so let's talk a little bit about you. Your day-to-day kind of reality is working directly with customers in the weeds, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that's how you put it off the camera.
Right.
What does that mean? What's going on?
So there's, various ways that we're engaging with customers. Anything from, gee, I really want to know how this works before I commit my company to sign up, and we haven't been able to get that answer from any of the field people. We want to home run it to engineering and get some guidance, all the way to someone being 3 months into a migration. Their partner is all set. They've spent they've allocated hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're like, oh, but our migration plan is not supported. And then we're talking to them and saying, well, we documented it all. Here it is. Here was what you're supposed to do. And they're all, yeah, but, we work with hundreds of Exchange on-premise situations, so we figured it was the same thing. There are some differences. In that case, we kind of bent over backwards to make them successful. And that's what we'll generally do. If someone has trusted us and bet their business on us, mm-hmm. we will do everything we can to make them successful.
Excellent.
And that's a constant decision-making process that we're making is, someone comes in and says, I'm stuck, what's the cost to get them unstuck? How many other people can we unstick by doing something for them?
Interesting. So, one thing I've asked everyone that I've talked to in this organization so far is, what keeps you up at night, right? We're so early in on this. What's going on?
It's got to be the trust thing. There are people who are betting their businesses, their jobs on making this work. You know, a lot of money at stake. People, you know, basically moving around their organization, saying we're going to, you know, get all these savings by going to cloud computing, and you know, all the stuff that I just told you about getting rid of our infrastructure. And so there's a lot of responsibility there, and you know, a lot of times there's, you know, some factions in the company that aren't totally excited about, you know, going to the cloud. And so the people who have championed that are out on a limb, you know, and when they get into trouble, you know, my fear and the thing that keeps me up is somehow we won't get to them, or there's a lot of times when they have a misperception, or they somehow they don't have the right guidance, you know, and that's my fear, that somehow someone who's placed their trust in us, you know, won't get the help they need. But, you know, we have a large support organization. We have a large field organization, that so people should be able to get to who they need to get to get their problem solved. I mean, our executives are also very attuned to, you know, people in this situation. Trust is the number one thing.
Absolutely. And I talked to Markovich. Is it Markovich?
Ron.
And one of the things I asked him was the notion of scale. And he says scale's not a problem. So that's a good thing.
We don't have a scale problem. I mean, we have, you know, tested enterprise software, and it's been running in these data centers and fully redundant. We have hundreds of people.
Sure.
And then 14 is, you know, going to have even more infrastructure behind it. I tend to think it's more, you know, unsupported scenarios that people get into somehow, because they say, well, I'm a total expert in Exchange. I can migrate 30,000 users, no problem, in a weekend, because this is how I always did it with Exchange. And then, you know, there are reasons that we put together this guidance to say this is how you should migrate.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now let me ask a question. In terms of, I mean, back in the, I'm going to try to make a correlation between the concept of thin client and thick client, and the correlation I will make is, back in the day when we, you know, .NET had come out and we were arguing for smart clients versus a thin client model of lots of computation in the cloud and then just send down small amounts of information to the client, where there's not a lot of computation happening on your desktop machine.
Yeah.
And then in some sense, like, well, we have all this power here. That model doesn't make any sense. More balance. So the correlation I'm trying to draw is that if you come in and I'm a company, I look at my IT department as part of my operating system, if you will, for my business. And to actually relinquish that out to a third party, Microsoft, there's going to be some concern, as we mentioned at the very beginning, of control.
Yeah.
And your job is, you go in there and ensure, and you would ensure me. So let's say, let's play the game, right? I'm a company.
Okay.
I have, I don't know, 10,000 employees. Maybe, I guess that's I'm a successful company, if that's the case. Let's notch that down. I have 5,000 employees, have an IT department, and it costs me a lot of money to run it, and I have to deal with the upgrades, because Microsoft comes out with new products, they have bug fixes, it's a nightmare. Not a nightmare, don't get me wrong, but my IT guys are working hard to solve lots of problems.
So you're making the case to go to the cloud right there.
I am, okay. So you're going to come in, but I do have some concerns, because I feel as though, you know, if I'm freaking out late at night, I want to make a phone call to my IT manager, be like, hey, man, you know, we're going to have a lot of traffic coming up because of the announcement we're going to make in this hypothetical. I want you guys to be on point. You have everything set up? Are you going to be able to deal with the amount of traffic that's going to come? I'm freaking out. I can't sleep. I can't call some vacuum in the sky.
Actually, it's a good point. It's a great question. This is part of the learning that we've gone through as we, you know, kind of bring up a service, and we're servicing 10,000 seat customers, and we have a certain support model that we've created. Very quickly, one of the first things we learned is people don't like large company, like you, 5,000 seat company, you know, IT professionals, you know, 20 years of Exchange experience. They don't want to talk to a tier one agent who asks them to reboot their computer and make sure everything's plugged in and all this stuff. So that can be incredibly frustrating. So we've launched, I mean, we have several programs, but one of the most important is the Direct to Tier 2 program, which we're piloting now. And the idea is, if you are, you know, a certain size customer, you know, we can kind of bring you into this program where you kind of reach out and have more of a relationship-based model of support rather than a transactional-based model of support.
Okay.
And we're finding that to be very successful.
Excellent.
So in addition, so we have the Directed Tier 2 program, and then we have our DSG and onboarding teams, who are dedicated teams of people who walk you through the process of, you know, doing all the due diligence to make sure all your on-premise stuff is ready to go to the cloud, and then helping you step through the process as well. But yeah, absolutely. You know, that feeling of I gotta be able to call somebody and get my problem solved is something that, you know, we're very receptive to.
Excellent. And the other question I'd have, and something we haven't covered before either, would be the notion of, we talk a lot about enterprise software, and it makes sense, right? Exchange, SharePoint, etc. But what if I'm somebody that wants to compete with Amazon, for example? Like, I'm going to create this awesome brand new model for distributed selling or e-commerce, but I don't want to run the thing myself, right?
Sure.
You know, I have X number of employees. You know, we built our stuff in the basement. We have it going. We have customers. We're making some coin, but now we need to grow. Would I come to Microsoft Online Services for that, or would I go to Azure, which again is still I have to control?
I think it's kind of a matter of how much control you want. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're building, you know, SharePoint sites and you want to have workflows and you want notifications that go out and you want to create these shared mailboxes inside your company and process stuff, there's a lot that you can do with off the shelf, you know, SharePoint, Exchange, Live Meeting, OCS. You can get pretty far with that. Now, if you want to, you know, build some real platform like infrastructure type stuff, and you want to go down to the metal and have your own kind of service that you're launching, it seems like that would be an Azure type thing, which I'm not an expert in.
No, that's fine.
I think that would be where you'd go.
But I mean, the point, I guess that was just my way of getting to differentiate between when customers want to go to sort of the promise of Azure versus the promise of, hey, essentially it's like a dynamic IT shop. It's really what I get a sense for Microsoft Online Services, in the sense that, like, a virtual dynamic IT shop. So I basically virtualized my IT department.
Yeah.
And I'm paying Microsoft. So IT as a service on the one hand versus this kind of Azure world where it's, you know, basically virtualized web hosting and server roles and whatever, that I can just spin up really quickly and not worry about.
Sure. I mean, and we talk about this here. I mean, it makes sense to, you know, have all of that live on the same thing. So right now, you know, we have our guys in the data center, you know, flipping load balancers, taking care of storage, doing backups and such, and we get pulled into that all the time. And yeah, I mean, we talk about, wouldn't it be nice for us to, you know, kind of do the online services thing and our engineering team not have to worry about where the load balances are or how these things are configured, and kind of have that be, you know, have another group that's solely focused on that stuff. So I think that's the, and that has to be the direction that we're going with.
Sure.
You know, kind of us being on the same infrastructure that our customers are on and, you know, kind of putting all our eggs in that basket.
Fair enough. But I mean, in some sense, though, that's sort of an implementation detail. I think of, like Azure is sort of like an operating system in the sky.
And yeah.
Your customers shouldn't worry about, you know, whether or not things are virtualized and how many nodes are happening, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
yeah.
It's basically, from the Microsoft Online Services standpoint, you guys are providing, like, business-critical enterprise support and execution that I want to be able to focus on my business. So I understand that part of why you guys are doing what you're doing, and you've been around longer. You're established.
Than the Azure guys.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, I mean, people, customers, unfairly, in my opinion, because Microsoft produces so many different technologies, that sometimes customers are like, well, you know, why, for example, why isn't Windows written in managed code? Remember back in the day? And
that's
promise
right.
Of Longhorn?
If MFC's so good, why isn't Excel built in MFC?
Well, there you go. So there's certain realities, and so many of them are purely technical. It's not religious or spiritual, and we're not infighting. It's just things don't work. Managed code doesn't work.
as an operating
system. Yeah, online services went to market, you know, a lot sooner than Azure was ready to go.
So, you know, to keep back on track, but this is the beautiful thing of Channel 9. We don't have a specific plan and messaging paradigm here. But what I would ask you is, in your experience, are customers happy with your service?
I mean, yeah, they are. I think it's pretty funny because I was talking. Who was I? I went to a community event, a meetup event. So we have a community team that is out there and kind of letting people know about Microsoft Online Services. So I went and spoke at one of these things, and you know, I'm here like at the the end of the escalation process. So by the time someone has got to me, they're generally not very happy with the service. So I kind of have this perception of like, oh my God, look at all these problems. Just every day people are like not able to use the service. Mm-hmm. But then when I kind of get out of that mode of being like on the other end of the angry phone call and actually go out and talk to people who are making a living selling Microsoft Online Services or using it, I'm saying, well, what about this? What about that? And they're like, not a big deal. It's what I'm used to. We're used to OWA. We're used to Outlook. It's just easy for us. It's an easy sell. So when I actually go and talk to people, like not for the purpose of solving their critical escalation, just kind of talking to customers out there, they seem to be pretty happy and pretty satisfied with kind of taking a safe and incremental move to the cloud by keeping all of the stuff that they're used to and just outsourcing the whole worry about data centers and such.
Absolutely. And I mean, you bring up a good point in that just because people have problems doesn't mean the service doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, I call, when I was writing code for Channel 9 back in the day, we'd have problems. So Channel 9 essentially is hosted somewhere else. Hosted in someone else's world, right? They manage the servers. They deal with all their infrastructure problems. They update the servers. And our job role as a customer would be, hey, what's going on with Node 3, man? It's not responding. Can you reboot it for me? Or what's up with the SQL Server? I can't imagine that it should be maxed out. Look into it, please. What's going on? So that's just a natural thing that happens with people who care about their business. They're going to call you. When it gets to you, they're going to be angry.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it works. I mean, it's working.
Absolutely. Our incident rates are lower than we projected them to be. So, and we're tracking all these metrics. We're kind of super paranoid, and we're kind of, we have great relationships with our large customers, and then we're building these listening systems so that we can say, well, what does it look like when a customer gets into trouble? Do they stop migrating? Does their migration onboarding speed slow down? Mm-hmm. Do they stop increasing their disk storage? How are we going to scale out our listening systems down to a 5-seat customer that gets onto the service? So we'll be able to trigger and say, hey, this guy's in trouble. Let's go and have a phone call or reach out to him or try to see what's going on with them. So we're very proactive about this. But the service is going well. All the metrics are looking pretty good. But they can be better, and so we have investments that are coming up around smoothing things out, optimizing our operational model, making things easier for support, and we're just going to kind of keep on getting better.
Excellent. Well, hey, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah, great talking to you too.
And hopefully you don't get too many phone calls today. I mean, the phone hasn't rung yet. So
it has.
Today's
been
a good day,
man. Quiet. Well, I'm supposed to be in this other meeting, so maybe know not to call me.
Excellent. Well, hey, thank you for taking time to talk to us. It's really interesting, and I think it's a really cool transparency model you guys have built, where customers can expect 90-day roadmaps every so often.
It's all about the trust.
Excellent, man. Take care.
Yep. Thank you.